The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, does the Bible have anything to say about all the power government is seizing? As a matter of fact, my friend, when the people of Israel requested a king like the other nations, Samuel told them that God was their king. They didn't need a human king. In fact, he said if they chose a human king, they would lose their freedoms. The United States of America is actually based upon a Declaration of Independence from the tyranny of a king, King George of England. But today, many of our judges and governors seem to think they are kings. When this pandemic hit and they knew it could become an excuse for power, they salivated like a kid on Christmas morning getting a brand new set of electric trains. They could not possibly have received a finer gift. Let me tell you something regarding this pandemic lockdown bullpucky. Eventually, politicians are going to have to give in to the many protests and return things to normal. But make no mistake, they have already decided, long ahead of time, social distancing regulations will be the new normal. Will protests continue then as well? Or will tired people fall for the six steps forward, two steps backward play? Will we settle for the king's crumbs thrown from the royal table? Or remember that we are a republic, a real republic, not a people's republic or a union of Soviet socialist republics. Will we be so grateful that the government generously gave back what they never had a constitutional right to take in the first place, that we become complacent, numb, and accepting? Until the day comes when people no longer even remember a time when the government wasn't issuing instructions as to how many feet to stand apart or how many seats are allowed in a room? Or will we decide to reset our country in its entirety as it was before the insanity began? Even our computers have a reset button, for crying out loud. Now, I should say, not all states are handling things like New York, California, and Michigan. It's a much different picture in Texas. No real surprise, but I must tell you, even there, we have had problems. Et tu, Texas, then dieth Caesar. However, the issues in Texas are coming from cities, not the governor. Before we look at this story that has dominated news the past few days, a pause, a tribute. That's right. It's time for our special Texas salute. I'm reading from Fox News. The Texas Supreme Court on Thursday ordered the release of salon owner Shelley Luther, who was jailed for opening in violation of the state's rules, as Governor Greg Abbott issued an executive order retroactively eliminating jail time as a consequence for violating the state's coronavirus restrictions. Well, that's heartening. This affirms that the state of Texas is still so extreme that they believe our constitutional rights cannot be neutralized by state despots. Unfortunately, cities like Dallas serve as an oasis of leftism in the midst of all that nasty constitutional stuff. Dallas, the California embassy to Texas. This woman went back to work in her salon in order to make a living. Unfortunately, those wise shelter-at-home policies were still in place. She's dragged before a judge who apparently thinks he lives in the Middle Ages, where magistrates demanded verbal assent for their sanctimonious laws. The judge commands her to apologize for being selfish. She responded by saying she did not think a need to feed her own children was an act of selfishness. While she still would have paid a fine for opening up the salon in the first place, she was sent to jail for being disrespectful to Judge Trinity, or God, as he undoubtedly calls himself every morning after rolling out of bed, looking in the mirror, and taking a bow. For your information, Dallas County recently released 1,000 sentenced inmates who had broken real honest-to-goodness laws, released for the sake of social distancing. Nearby, Harris County released over 370. Travis County, over 760. One of the Harris inmates was rearrested for identity theft and breaking into a car. Another ex-prisoner in Harris County was charged with beating his girlfriend and throwing her mother to the ground. Well, I hope he threw her to the ground 6 feet away, at least. People like that are set free from jail. A mother wanting to feed her children is sent to jail. Has our nation become certifiably insane? No matter. I'm sure the asylums all over the country will be empty, too. After all, those fun new laws are being issued only for our safety. And if you believe that, it probably isn't too late to get your Christmas wish list off to Santa this year. But Dallas isn't California's only embassy to Texas. There's Austin and even San Antonio, where my good friend Jim Barrier resides, serving as an example of refreshing common sense. Jim Barrier, welcome to our program.
Thanks, Bob. And let me say, before anything else, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. This is my first Mother's Day not being in the pulpit in some 30 years. And so I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all the moms. We honor you. And of course, as I've always said, if your mother didn't have any children, neither will you. So
I should tell you, my church honored Dana and several other mothers today. They had them all on video answering different questions about what it's like to be a mother. It really took up the entire sermon practically. And Dana just did a sensational job. I was so proud of her.
Very cool. Yeah, Skyline's a great church. And I'm sure somewhere during the hour, we're going to hear a little plug for that church. But it's a wonderful church. It's where I first became a believer. Now, let's go back. I just want to echo some of the things that you mentioned about this recent crazy episode with Shelley Luther and her salon in Dallas. That judge was way, way out of touch. In fact, that's what Governor Abbott called him, out of touch for this thing. By the way, I've met Greg Abbott. I've met Ken Paxton, the attorney general, who also got quite involved in the thing. And they're solid people. They're believers. They're conservative. And just really good people. We have some good people in power, in places of power in the state of Texas. And they do use more common sense. And it's one of the things I like about living in Texas is they try to bring some reason, they try to bring some balance and try to keep things from just getting crazy like it is in other states. And the counties that you mentioned, by the way, Travis County is where Austin is, and Austin is a very liberal city. Some of that is, I think, because the university is there, because the capital is there, and there's a lot of political activity, so the liberals hang out there.
But what's interesting is at the capital, where we do have Governor Abbott and your great lieutenant governor, that liberalism isn't coming out of the Capitol building, but in the Capitol city. So that's an unusual paradigm.
Right. But we have some good people up there. Prior, we had Rick Perry, who I've also met. And, you know, that guy got a bad rap because he didn't do so well in the debates and answering questions and stuff. But he's a solid guy. He's a good guy. So we have some good people up there. But that's Travis County. And then Harris County is where Houston is. And I have said often, when I first moved to Texas, my San Diego friend said, well, what is Houston like? Because that's where I first lived when first time I lived in Texas. And I said, Houston is like Los Angeles without good weather. you know, like 6 million people.
Yeah, and good weather is about the only good thing left in Los Angeles these days.
Yeah, I suppose. But that's the counties you're talking about are basically where Dallas, Houston, Austin are. And I'm in Bexar County. It's spelled B-E-X-A-R. Bexar is what it's in Indian. San Antonio has a lot of liberalism here. We're going to talk about that in a little while. I want to talk about our city council and mayor. Because they've been doing some goofy stuff. But the people of Texas, by and large, are, you know, really good people. I loved it when I moved here. People are friendly. They're hospitable. They have old-fashioned values of courtesy and respect and things like that. And so please don't judge the state of Texas by this crazy episode and one judge who's been rebuked by the governor and the attorney general.
Compared to the rest of the United States, I think Texas wins hands down on this. I still have a question, though, because realize that some of these idiotic mayors and judges are turning the executive orders into a draconian version. But Abbott still went along and, you know, we had these national guidelines, but from the national position, nothing was said that these had to turn into executive orders. And did he get caught up in something that maybe he's now starting to regret? Do you think? I do like him. I do want to give him the benefit of the doubt. So I don't mean this as a criticism of him at all. It's really just a sincere question.
Yeah. And, you know, I've got a lot of questions about the things that are taking place due to the coronavirus and the threat to individual freedoms and things like that. So I think it's good for someone to draw a line at a certain point. And you pointed out, you know, if they're releasing prisoners for their own safety and protection from the virus, then locking somebody up for opening a hair salon early, that doesn't make sense at all. It's like a bad Star Trek episode where there's a parallel universe.
Or as William Shatner would put it, something parallel.
You didn't pause long enough there. You got to work on your Shatner.
I got to work on my Shatner a little bit. Okay, I'll work on my Shatner while we're listening to Star Wars music. A lot of people don't recognize this, but it is beautiful music from one of the Star Wars films. We'll be right back.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. We had a slight earthquake today in California. I just had to wonder, is God opening up our state, and did he forget to check with Governor Newsom first? Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
You know, that's one thing about California that I don't miss is the earthquakes. Now, we make up for it out here. We have some crazy, I call it bipolar weather. I hope that doesn't offend anybody, but we can have a 40-degree swing in one day. It's crazy out here, but I don't miss earthquakes. That wasn't a very big one, though, I think. I saw that on the news. It wasn't a real big earthquake today, was it?
No, it wasn't, and if it had been a big one, I wouldn't be making a little joke about it, but still.
Yeah.
These days, we try to keep our sense of humor out here in California because it's not really all that funny.
Well, you got to take what you can get, these things. So let's switch back to Texas. We're having a Texas theme tonight so far.
Yeah, we are.
A news story, I know that you saw about it because you posted something, but the city of San Antonio, the city council and the mayor, this is all pushed by our mayor, passed a resolution calling the term Chinese virus hate speech.
Yeah, which is a problem. Back when they were talking about hate crimes, I was very concerned because I said if we have hate crime laws, they'll become hate speech laws. And we already had laws against crime. So the idea that you might hate somebody while you're committing the crime, you should get more, that gets into thought police. And of course, my understanding is this is just a resolution, and they're usually trial balloons. But if the public goes for it, it might become an actual law next time.
I think the public in this city is pretty much going to laugh about that.
Well, then how did that mayor get elected if the public is laughing about that?
Well, let's talk about Mayor Ron Nirenberg.
He hasn't discovered that the Alamo's in San Antonio yet, has he? Or he may just come up with a resolution to have the Alamo Fort taken down.
You know, actually, there's a lot. There are people that are really trying to change that. Now, the locals love it. It's a national shrine. It's a great symbol of freedom fighters. But there are people who, you know, object to it. I think it's a lunatic fringe. It's a small group of people that want to protest anything.
Well, I can just hear them. It promotes violence. It promotes racism. I can just hear it now.
Yeah. Davy Crockett was a racist. it just nuts. But now, Mayor Nirenberg is just another in a long list of extremely liberal mayors that we've had in this city just since I've lived here. He was campaigning to run for mayor, and I went to a town hall meeting that he had. I sat in the front row, and he gave, you know, his promises, his campaign. He's given a speech, and he talked about, you know, I'm going to have better roads and freeways. We're going to have better schools. We're going to have more law enforcement. We're going to have better water availability, on and on and on. And he finished with this thing, and he said, are there any questions? Well, I was the first to raise my hand, and he couldn't ignore me. I'm right there in the front. And he said, yes, sir. And I said, how are you going to pay for all of these things? They're good things. It's good to have roads and water and school and police. How are you going to pay for all of this? Because you know and I know that the only way to do that is either to raise taxes or to sell bonds.
Oh, I was surprised he didn't say, citizen, I'm not going to pay for it. You are. But then that would have been telling the truth.
That's too honest.
Although he wouldn't have said citizen. He would have said comrade.
Yeah. Well, you're not far off. But he basically danced around, didn't answer my question. Then as soon as he could, moved on. He probably regretted opening it up to questions. But you know, if that, it was a typical thing. He got elected by making promises and not talking about how he's going to pull those things off. And the truth is the state spends most of the money to develop the freeways and things like that. It was all just, to me, it was smoke and mirrors. But I right away, and I went because a friend of mine who's a business owner was attending this thing. It was actually was not an open meeting. It was by invitation. But I came away from that thinking, well, this guy doesn't get my vote. Now, I live in a county, so I can't vote on the mayor anyway, which is a problem I have. I get taxed, but I can't vote on the city council or the mayor.
What a sweet deal that is. You get taxed, but you can't vote on the guy who's taxing you.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing. But he's very left-wing. He's the one that pushed this deal about hate speech. He's also the one that led the anti-Chick-fil-A thing, if you remember that.
I heard that. Yeah, the evil Chick-fil-A people. All they're doing is making chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, and they passed the thing, and they wouldn't allow Chick-fil-A to open a restaurant or, you know, a food stand in the airport here. And now that's been... There are lawsuits going on, and of course the governor responded to that and said that was overreach. But this guy is pretty liberal, and he's pretty committed to a lot of the liberal agenda. So his track record so far, those are the things that are being highlighted. You know, his attack on Chick-fil-A, his thing about hate speech if you say the wrong name for this virus and call it Chinese flu or whatever. He's pretty liberal. Now, we've had other liberal mayors.
He sounds like he's beyond liberal. He sounds leftist Marxist.
Prior to him, we had a fellow named Julian Castro. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. I know him.
Yeah, he was the mayor. In fact, he left in the middle of his term as mayor because Obama... hired him to be the Secretary of Housing Urban Development, HUD. So he left, and it was kind of neat. When he left, the person that replaced him, who was next in line, was Ivy Taylor, and she's a conservative black woman. And you know, there's nothing that Democrats hate worse than a conservative black woman.
Oh, you're not allowed to be black and conservative. They'll say you're really an Oreo, white on the inside, black on the outside.
Yeah. And not only that, she's a Christian.
That's just anathema to them.
Yeah. And so she ran for re-election after she finished out the term that Castro vacated. And that's who Nuremberg replaced her. She lost in the election. And there was the first election, nobody had 50%, so they had a runoff. And she actually led the first time around, but then he regrouped, did campaigning. Anyway, we didn't get Ivy for a second term. I wish we had. She's just a solid person. And before Castro, you know, a while back, we had a fellow named Henry Cisneros, who was the mayor of San Antonio, and he was Bill Clinton's Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. So we've had some pretty darn liberal mayors here. If they're people that Obama like and Clinton likes, and who knows, maybe Nuremberg has hopes that if there's ever a Democrat president, that he'll get a job up there. I don't.
Yeah, well, the word Nuremberg reminds me of the Nuremberg laws in Germany. Anyway, we will be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
Well, here we are. So San Antonio, and you know, I love this city. I am from the town you live in. I'm a third generation San Diego native. I like to say that. And my children are fourth generation. My grandchildren are fifth generation San Diego natives. And my great grandson is a sixth generation San Diego native, and so that's pretty rare. We're an endangered species, but I have lived here in San Antonio for quite some time, and once I learned to tolerate the weather, I've been pretty happy here, and certainly the economic climate is much better than it is out there in California. But
well, that's the thing. You can't argue against California's climate, but these days you can argue against just about everything else.
About everything else. Now San Antonio, I think, is kind of a microcosm of America. You know, for the most part, the people here are pretty common sense folks. Texas is a pretty conservative state, but you have those little pockets of liberalism, and often those folks get into power in the local cities and stuff. But San Antonio citizens, they're not against having a Chick-fil-A at the airport. They're not against feeding the homeless. You remember some years ago I talked to you about the city council passed a law making it illegal to give food or money to someone on the street.
Isn't that just insane? And you were also talking about how, because of where you live, you can't vote for the mayor, but the mayor's still taxing you. Hasn't he heard an old, old slogan? I believe I heard this somewhere, called no taxation without representation.
I read that somewhere. Yeah. I read that somewhere.
Maybe on the back of a chewing gum wrapper or somewhere. I'm sure I saw that somewhere.
Yeah, and I don't get taxed by the city of San Antonio. I need to clarify that, but I do pay local taxes, and they go to the school districts, et cetera. But I can't be a part of voting on the things that affect the city council and the local and the government there, and they're the ones that make the decisions for the greater San Antonio region. Now, I believe that at some point they will annex the area that I live in because they're losing some revenue there by not taxing the thousands of homes that are up here in the north part of the area. So I'm in the greater San Antonio area. My zip code, my address say San Antonio, but I'm not in the city limits proper. It's much like in San Diego, if someone lived in La Mesa or Spring Valley or one of the regions around there, they have their own jurisdiction. Now, I don't even live in one of the smaller cities. I'm just in the county, so I'm a country boy. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Well, it's a beautiful little city. I remember you and I met because I went out to San Antonio,
right.
and you had me on your radio show. That's how we met. And
I
love the city. It's just...
It is a beautiful city, but it's not a little city, Bob. San Antonio actually is more populous than San Diego. We passed
San Diego. Are you kidding me? See, now, I did not, I guess, you know, when you drove by the Alamo, I'm thinking of the old days. Of course, I wasn't there that long. I was on your radio show in the evening, did that debate in the morning. Then they sent me right back on the plane, and you go right back to Dallas. You can't get out of Texas on a plane unless you go through Dallas-Fort Worth.
Just about. That's if you fly American. I always fly Southwest. I don't know, we're not supposed to do plugs like this, but they do more nonstop flights out of San Antonio.
Oh, Dana and I did a whole show about an airline, but we changed the name to not embarrass them. We called it Shamerican Airlines, and that way nobody knew which airline we were really talking about.
Yeah, right. No one knew. But it is a great city. Now, it does. It's funny because my description of San Antonio is that it's a large city with a small town attitude. The people here are friendly. They're kind of down home. They wave. They're, you know, like I said, they have respect and courtesy and those kind of things. But this is a really big city. It's an interesting conflict sometimes. For instance, most of the San Antonio people, they've defied having rapid transit. They've tried to put light rail and things like that in. It will not happen. They will not have toll roads because they say, we're not a big city. We don't need those things. it is a big city, and it's growing constantly because there are no geographical boundaries like there is in San Diego. You've got the ocean, the mountains.
Yeah, that's a boundary, I'd
say. The Mexican border. And Camp Hill.
Wait a minute. Jim, did you just say that our Mexican border is a boundary these days? Where are you hearing this stuff?
If
the ocean is less of a boundary than our border with Mexico is these days.
Well, it defines whether you're in San Diego or not. Now, I was born in
Chula Vista, true.
So, you know, that's pretty far south there. But the point is this area, there's nothing to restrict. They just keep stretching out the boundaries, so the city keeps growing, and they keep building and building. We haven't really had a slump even a few years ago, several years ago now, when there was a recession. We held our own. You know, businesses kept doing well. The construction was going on.
Let me ask you, because, as you know, my son lives in Texas. And I was talking to him when we were FaceTiming about all the different shutdown things. He said the more you get out of any city and get into the country, the less people were taking all those stupid laws seriously. Would you concur with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, we have farmers and ranchers, and I have friends that have their own property way out, you know, out in the sticks. And they're just kind of throwback, you know. They have those old kind of values. They believe in working hard, and they believe in taking care of their family, crazy things like that. They go to church on Sunday.
Going to church on Sunday. Next thing we know, the Gestapo's going to be here. That's the way the left thinks. All right, my friend, we will be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. Looking for a church? Maybe not. Perhaps you've had your fill of churches. Maybe you even grew up in the church. Maybe as a kid you were dragged to Sunday school against your will. Maybe you used to throw spit wads as Mrs. Pumpernickel tried desperately to interest you in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. You may have grown up listening to long sermons, anxiously looking at your watch to see how much of the game you were missing at home on TV as the pastor made his 97th point. Or perhaps you were not raised as a Christian at all. Instead, you have merely encountered Christians. Maybe some obnoxious personality tried to shove the gospel down your throat using all the tact of a lawnmower in a barber shop. Well, my friend, perfect Christians don't exist because perfect people don't exist. That's why Jesus died for our sins. So I'm not going to tell you that the people of Skyline Church are perfect. I'm just going to tell you that we come real close. No, actually, you'll just find people who struggle with life the same as you. But we're honest about the struggle, and we help each other with the struggle. What you will find is a church that takes the love of Jesus Christ seriously. After all, his message is one of mercy and inclusion, and we don't need 97 points to talk about God. Ask anybody. Our sermons have never made more than 96 points.
Skyline Church.
As you probably know, on May 1st, there were protests all over California, and it got national attention. Over 40,000 patriots took a stand against the lockdown to demand that Governor Newsom fully reopen California and restore our rights. Newsom actually backed down a little bit and opened up some beaches in a nutty, idiotic, contradictory series of ways, but it was a start. There have been other protests since then, and there's going to still be another one next week in San Diego on Saturday, May 16th, in front of the County Administration Building. It will be, as it was before, a peaceful protest. If you are interested in supporting this or any other California protests, you can get information at wehaverights.com. That's wehaverights.com. Say hello again to my good friend Jim Barrier.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that you believe you have the right to peaceably assemble?
I know I read the one about taxation without representation on a chewing gum wrapper. I think it was on the back ingredients of a Campbell's soup can somewhere where I said saw something about freedom of assembly, freedom of religion.
Something.
It's kind of an unheard of idea these days, but I'd like to gather up these scraps of paper and let people read them. They certainly don't read the Constitution, so maybe if we showed it to them on the back of a cereal box top or something, they'll pay more attention.
You know, some of those inalienable rights and the Bill of Rights are in jeopardy with this stuff. And, I call him Governor Gruesome.
I'm hearing so many different names. Somebody on Facebook today called him Governor Nuisance. I mean, they just keep on coming. The hits just keep on coming.
Know. That guy, I mean, for someone like me that lives far away and I read the headlines and I hear this, he just seems nuts. What is his agenda? What do you surmise?
Well,
you're there on a daily basis.
I've been doing a little bit of research. Here's what I've come up with so far. He used to be an atheist, and then he discovered he was God.
Oh, it's a classic. Oh,
no, it's really been a nightmare, except for the fact that, oddly enough, my Christian faith is stronger than ever, feeling very close to God.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of this stuff that's going on has maybe moved people to really take a look at their faith and how they live their faith. But this guy, this governor that you have, it sounds like he's done some crazy things. They're, commandeering hotels and forcing them to become shelters. Is that
I've been predicting that for years, Jim, and I don't believe it'll stop with hotels. I believe that sooner or later they'll come to people's private homes and start moving people in, whether it's the homeless, whether it's illegal immigrants. What else could they possibly do? What we have here is not sustainable. You can't get on national TV and brag and advertise that anywhere in the world, if you can make your way to California, you will be let in. Yeah. We're a sanctuary state, and we're going to give you free health care, and we're going to give you free college. Who isn't going to come? Now, who's going to pay for that? And where will the people even live? So, of course, they're starting to commandeer hotels. I would have said it wasn't going to come until 5 or 10 years from now. But this pandemic has accelerated things. Jim, just think back a month and a half. The last time you were on the air, we talked about how much life had changed in the 1 month since we'd had you. It seems like even more has changed again in the next month. Who would have believed that 2 months ago we'd be sitting where we are? And we talk about boiling the frog slowly. Well, it's still happening incrementally, but this time incrementally speeded up over a month. Who knows what it's going to look like next? And the more we hear from the national guidelines that it's time to go ahead, we flatten the curve, the more the blue states are doubling down. And there's exceptions. There's some red governors that aren't doing a great job either. But, boy, if the people do not rise up and protest, and I'm not calling for any kind of revolution or any kind of violence, so chill out, everybody. But the right to assemble and make our voices heard, absolutely. If we can't do that, this is no longer the United States of America.
You know, when I was reading some of these things, my mind flashed back to the film Dr. Zhivago. You remember that film?
Oh, yeah, wonderful, wonderful movie.
But and it was, you know, it was a love story, but the backdrop was the Bolshevik Revolution.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And they were doing that. They were seizing property for the state, whatever the state felt was necessary.
Yeah, well, and that movie Reds with Warren Beatty, they made the point that people who are being persecuted, when they come into power, they often treat others the way they were once treated. I don't blame people for wanting to rise up against the czars, but the communist regime was no better than the czars, and in time they became even worse.
You know, it's like the quote way back when Fidel was in power and being a good Marxist, he said, "I support revolution everywhere on the planet, except Cuba."
Yeah.
Now that I'm in power.
Great, yeah.
And that's, you know, the old cliche, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
And that's our left today. We believe in freedom of speech. You're free to say anything that we want you to say. That's it. That's their definition of freedom of speech.
Yeah, as long as it's not hate speech. Yeah.
Yeah, hate speech is defined as any speech they don't like that's politically correct, because they can't win the debates. They have no logic. All they can do is shut you down and call it hate speech.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jim Berio will be back for one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Segal Show.
The sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is called Inside the Castle in the Glass, and already this entertaining sequel is getting great reviews from customers on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Very clever way of introducing certain life principles in a fictional setting. I thoroughly enjoyed the story. Here's another review. I picked up this book at a book signing with Bob Segal on a Friday. By Monday morning before work, I finished it. This is over 500 pages of story. I couldn't put it down. I would plan to put it down at the end of the chapter, then something big would take place. I would have to continue to see what happened. A lot of unexpected twists and turns and a lot of things you can't imagine. Things that make you say, "What?" By the way, I am pushing 60 years old and I enjoyed this book and look forward to more of Bob's books. Keep them coming. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
always a blast to be joined by my good friend Jim Barrier. Jim, during the break, Brendan, my board op, paid you quite a compliment. He said, these shows with Jim Barrier always go by too quickly. I wish they could last longer. That's always the way I feel, too.
That's a nice compliment. I do feel that way. You know, it goes by so fast. We're on our final segment, I think, right now. So
it went by so fast, Jim. We blinked, yeah. And I'm sure that when I close up in here and head out to the street, I'm going to find that some new regulation was passed by Governor Newsom in just the hour I was on the air.
No kidding. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
You don't have to be anymore. It's just all happening.
Except for the JFK thing, I will never buy the Oswald acted alone thing. But
No. Trump was responsible for that, didn't you know? Trump's responsible for everything.
That's right. I forgot. But this, you know, I'm concerned about some potential things. There's a lot of talk again from the governor and from Fancy Nancy that we need to do mail-in ballots and not have public polls. For the safety of the people.
He just signed an executive order that will deliver a mail-in ballot to every Californian. He just did that.
And anybody that has an address, because as you were talking about, you know, people who come into this country illegally in California can get a driver's license now, and that will then allow them to vote. There's already enough voter fraud, but I think having a only mail-in ballot is just asking for disaster.
It's just the new, the term social distancing has become the new climate change. It is now their excuse. Nancy Pelosi saying that we have to have mail-in because how could you stand in line and socially distance at a polls? Of course, they're making us stand in line 6 feet apart at the banks and wearing masks, so we can't do
and
that
Walmart,
at the polls. It makes absolutely
Home
no
Depot.
Sense.
Yeah. So
of course, Newsom is her nephew, so we shouldn't be too surprised.
Yeah. Well, it troubles me if they push that thing through. The other thing that is kind of slid into the background here is that there will be no debates. And
I know, and I would have paid good money to watch Biden in a debate.
Oh, my gosh.
It would have been like watching Bambi meets Godzilla, but I don't think that's going to happen. The people around him don't want him to debate.
No, they don't want
to. The minute he opens up his mouth and says three words, the debate is over.
Yeah, and so they will use the same thing. So, well, we can't have debates, so we can't have public gatherings, and they'll hope that we go to the election without anybody having heard the difference between Trump and Biden from those two men. It'll be all the pundits that will be deciding for everybody what they should think. And I'm concerned about those two issues, the mail-in ballot and the lack of debates.
There's even more to be concerned about because they're finding out with all this stuff with Flynn, now that all these records and transcripts and text messages and notes on paper have finally been opened up by Attorney General Barr, they're finding out that framing of Flynn, those orders were given by Obama, and Biden was in the room. Now watch, Jim, the minute Trump says anything about investigating, what will they do? In the name of him investigating Biden for having sabotaged the last, not election, but it was after the inauguration, they'll go ahead and say that Trump's not allowed to criticize anything Biden did because that's going to be sabotaging this election, which is essentially the reason that the House impeached him last time. So he's not allowed to talk about what Biden did. It makes your head spin.
It does, but I think it's the only hope they have of stealing the election is to use this opportunity, if you will, that the virus has presented and use it for their own means. Now, I can't go so far. I don't know what caused it. I don't know whose fault it is. You know, you can't say anything bad about China, by the way. Here's a segue. I wanted to mention this. NBA superstar LeBron James. You might have heard of him.
I've heard of him. As you know, I don't follow sports like you do, but certainly I've heard of LeBron James.
Well, there are no sports to follow right now.
That's right. Yeah. You know, even I can follow sports these days.
It's all reruns. But he was outraged by this tragic shooting of a 25-year-old black man. And it is tragic. It was a terrible thing that happened. But LeBron jumps on it and says, they're hunting us down literally every day.
You see that? Yeah. Well, and we have Democratic politicians saying that that if we open up the economy, it's going to be racist because African Americans and Latinos will die, as if that virus goes out and skips over anybody that's from Europe. It's, the idea is shame Trump into not opening up the economy today because he's got to put human lives first. And what will the slogan be in November? Trump tanked the economy. That's the plan. That's the strategy.
Well, yeah, they're already doing that. You know, and it's his fault that people are dying.
It's his fault that people are dying. But if he doesn't open up the economy and puts his emphasis on saving human lives, then it's his fault that the economy crashed.
Whatever he does is wrong, according to these people. But I want to LeBron comes up, makes this statement, plays the race card, and yet he has no problem defending China, one of the worst abusers of human rights in the history of this planet, because, of course, he has a lifetime deal with Nike that in his career could probably exceed $1 billion. So he won't say anything bad about China.
Yeah.
But he's going to jump. He's going to play the race card as soon as he can. And that's nothing new in the sports world. Way back when, there was a guy named Michael Jordan. I'll bet you heard of him, too.
I've heard of Michael Jordan. Yeah. There's a few that even people like me are going to hear of. I've heard of Babe Ruth, too. I know several. Mickey Mantle. I know a lot of them, Jim.
In 1990, a North Carolina Democrat black man ran against, his name was Harvey Gantt, ran against Jesse Helms, who was a racist and a bigot, and I didn't like Jesse Helms. But Jordan took a lot of heat because he would not make a public endorsement of Gantt. And he was quoted, someone heard him say, "Hey, Republicans buy Nike, too." And
oh, my God. Well, good for him for taking a stand.
They really got onto him, and of course he said it in jest, but he took some heat for that. And of course, Mike makes about $130 million a year from Nike, so it's got to be the shoes, as Mars Blackman once said.
Jim, you can't say that an African American makes that much money. What are they going to do when it's time for reparations for slavery, and we're going to say that only we white people are rich? That kind of story just doesn't fit that narrative.
I don't know. I guess if I were a white basketball player, I'd ask for reparations for being beat by Michael Jordan so many times.
Hey, I want to know where my reparations are. I'm Jewish, and the Egyptians held our people as slaves for 400 years. Where's my reparations?
That's a good point. Personally, I never owned a slave. I don't know that any of my ancestors did, but I refuse to buy into this corporate sense of guilt that some folks do. The world's going nuts, Bob.
It is, my friend. Well, listen, and I know I've said this before to you, now that you're retired, you certainly have the time to come on more than once a month, so we hope you'll be back real soon. You don't even have to wait till next month if you don't want to.
I think we're going to work on that.
Okay. It's always a pleasure having you, Jim. God bless you.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. And I will see you next week, everybody, unless there's a new executive order that says we're not allowed to broadcast. I wouldn't be surprised, but probably I'll see you next week. After all, what would any of you do without your old pal, Bob?
Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.